Hello and welcome to another episode of Honest to a Malt with myself, Dunkin' Donuts, and Mike, aka Tupids.
Hello. Mike.
How are you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks. Yeah, pretty good. Great. Battling through usual illnesses, child-related illnesses, but keeping things positive, keeping things upbeat, just soldiering on, basically.
Yeah. I'm also battling through the shits, thanks to my child. It's great.
It's been going around. I don't get it anymore. I've got a gut of steel.
No, right. I'm new to this world of child infections, so I am a prime for a pooing.
You're vulnerable to attack from infection. Yeah, it's actually pretty horrendous when you're going through the first rung of it. You're actually in for about 2.5 years of torture, where you'll find yourself sometimes just wandering around in circles in your house going, I just don't understand what's wrong with my immune system. And you'll be like, I just can't do anything about it. Why am I so weak? And then, you know, you'll get past it. Your body will deal with all these new viruses and then you just become a hardened parent like the others. Yeah. It's pretty horrendous, Mike. I wish you the best with it.
Thumbs up. Loving it.
Yeah, loving it. Loving it. What is the name of the episode today?
So we're episode 46 and we are on to the round two. So we are celebrity top trumps, Rod Stewart versus Matthew McConaughey.
Nice one. I've been really looking forward to doing the next Celeb Top Trumps episode.
Yeah, it's been good.
So I'm delighted we've got there. It's only 25 or 26 episodes after the last one.
Which doesn't seem that long ago when you actually flicked through the episode list.
5 months, though, isn't it?
It is a fair old trek,
It's a fair old trek, yeah. Maybe we'll try to do the next one before number 60.
Yeah.
I think we'll have a crack at that, won't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's been in your glass and what's been up your ass this week, Mike?
What's in your glass, Mike? What's in your glass? I really want to know.
What's been in my glass this week is something you don't have. Obviously, Ian was on the podcast last time from Glenmurray. Yeah. And we received a lovely gift of a peated cognac cask. We talked about it on the pod. Mine was delivered nearly in hand, I'll be honest. They may as well have jumped on a plane. Hand delivered the bottle and given it to me.
It does feel like you've got preferential treatment.
Still hasn't turned up, am I correct?
First off, I was quite blown away by the gesture.
Yeah, me too.
With the logo on the bottle.
I was honest to a lot logo. I did post it.
Yeah, quite emotional about it. Then there was a problem. It hadn't come. I hadn't had any tracking updates or anything like that for this Peter Cognac. Private cask bottle, basically, with our logo on it.
Yeah.
And I've never wanted a bottle to turn up more than this one.
And I mean, I've had at least three. I've got it here if you want me to pull it out and show you the logo again.
But I've never wanted a bottle to turn up more, and I had no tracking notification, etc. So I did reach out, and it turns out that basically a line of the address was missing. So it's on the way tomorrow. So something to look forward to.
I bet you that's happened to me before, and it's like, the first line isn't there, but you can easily work out what your address is based off the rest, and they're just idiots. So that's already been up my arse. You're not getting that from Yodel. It's happened to me. So, yeah.
But, I mean, we should keep it positive. This is probably the best thing that's happened in quite
a while. Yeah.
In terms of, one, it's delicious. Two, it's
well, you wouldn't know you haven't tasted it, but yeah.
Well, I have tasted it because I had a blind sample, didn't I?
I know.
That's how nice.
Thanks, Cliff.
But people may not listen. This could be the first pod they've ever listened to. And it just might, you know.
They're now turning off going, what is this shit?
Going, what is it? Has he tried it or not? I don't understand.
Yeah. So that's been in my glass. And you'll be happy when it turns up, mate, as you've tasted it. It's bloody lovely stuff. So that has been bathing in my Glencairn.
Right. And that's it?
That's it. That's all I've drunk this week. Very light, busy with work. So
healthy.
No. It's been just like midnight Burger Kings and stuff and all sorts of not
savage.
Good stuff. Just, well, it's because there's nothing open.
And hang on. And so what's been up your arse then?
What's been up my arse? Obviously, loads of news and stuff going on at the moment. And when I open my phone browser, I get a suggested news feed to me. And any story you click on now, So whether it be like Kent News, Welsh News, London News, anything other than BBC, you go about two paragraphs down,
yeah,
and then you're just bombarded like it's the year 2000 again with random pop-ups, and you can't ever see that news article. You can't get to the bottom because there's just advert after advert after
some of the websites.
When did this happen?
And then you try to close it and it's like really slow closing.
Yeah.
And you're like,
I thought we'd sold pop-ups. I thought I was done.
It's ads. It's like them. Some websites, some of the newspaper websites in particular, are completely unusable. So
yeah. That's been up my ass. Like, unbelievable.
That's
like,
a fair
just
shout,
trying
actually.
To read an article. I will post a link. I'm not sure it's legal. I might post a link to a website where you can throw in whatever site you want to look at, and it'll strip out any adverts and also take out any reader walls. So if you wanted to read the Times, you maybe don't have to give the Times the money. They can have that article. Someone will have a version of it somewhere.
Oh, I'll use that. Thanks, mate. I've got a bottle of that Eagle Rare 10, which is kind of like sweet and savory as a bourbon. It's a bit more herbal than some of the others.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Could be the neck pour, though.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's getting sweeter. Mm. I actually put it into an old-fashioned, the first pour. The first pour I had on its own, the second pour I put into an old-fashioned. But it's nice to have it. I got it for
£32.
What,
you got an older bottle in?
No, just an Eagle Rare 10.
Oh, right.
My point is that I had a pour of it. It felt like it was slightly more savoury than some other bourbons. So I haven't had it in ages, right? I mean, they do change over time. Yeah, that bottle, yeah.
No, not that bottle.
Oh, you're showing me a competition or something?
This is... So how much did you pay?
£32.
Whiskey Exchange have had the audacity to come on and try and charge £75 for a barrel pick.
Right.
I've got
the Cool Range 45% for £32.
That's taking the piss, frankly.
I guess
barrel
that's
picks
what happens.
Ain't that good.
That's what happens with all this select bourbon stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dog's wandering around again. It's doing my head in. I wish he'd just settle down. Why
every
is he
week.
Wandering around every week?
I don't
week?
Know. I need to like get his.
He's walked 4 miles today. He should just chill out at this point.
It's like, he's got to do 1,000 more steps for the next hour.
We both did blind drams. So you have, didn't you? You did try the blind drams, didn't you?
Yeah, I did them last night.
Yeah, so there has been something else that's been in your glass then. And so we both got to try a 40-year-old
dog shit
blended. Is it a blend or something? Because it's blind. I scored it a 2 out of 5. And I said it was young. And it's 40-year-old. What is that whiskey? It's like, it's about 46%. Can they even call it whiskey? It's called Defilement.
It was Defilement rubbish. Like, don't get me wrong. I think I scored it a 2. And that's generally how it works with blind drams. I think you're always a bit more forgiving, should we say.
Mm.
With your first couple of scores because you're fresh and your scores tend to get better towards the end. They dip in the middle weirdly, but your first one you're generally sort of up in the air with it and a little bit nicer than they are. But yeah, it was the 40-year-old Defilement blended something whiskey. It was all blacked out on the bottle and utter dross. I think I said I gave it a 2 out of 5. Right. Punchy alcohol, smelt like bourbon on the nose initially, and then my summary: first fill bourbon cask, young, no clue where it's from, 46% ABV, 2 out of 5.
I think I gave it a 2 as well.
Wouldn't buy it.
It was fairly fruity, but there was nothing more to it than that.
And you dropped the bombshell on me just before this podcast. It's how much?
About £200.
Oh.
Yeah. So we went from that into Blind Dram 2 was the Adelphi blend for £20. And I scored that a 1 out of 5 blind.
I gave that a 2, to be fair.
Really
I thought
thin.
It was all right.
Yeah. Well, that was didn't do too well overall. But I think that's also because people's expectation of blind drams is that the whiskey's going to be an average of sort of 60, 70, 80 quid a bottle.
Yeah.
And so if you're chucking a 20 quid bottle in there, it's got to be really good. And this one, blind, just was getting hammered by people.
Yeah.
Anyway, So there's been that. And also, you had an arrival, the Loch Lomond 20-year-old that you got from auction, didn't you?
I did indeed, yeah. So it was English.
That open, we both tried that.
English oak, or finished in English oak. So it was an ex-Burbs cast, then finished in English oak.
I've got to put the dog on. Sorry, Mike. He's just winding me up so much.
Yeah, sorry. Really decent dram. Super fruity. Like, really, really fruity. And, yeah, the English oak just sort of added a new element to it. It was like kind of European oak spice. So what I mean by that, normally when you get European oak with a whiskey, it's super spicy, not necessarily like sweet spice, like really sort of like dark gingery spice. So that's what you get with the European oaks. This one had a slightly different oak and was, I said, like mushroomy, so slightly umami sort of oakiness to it. And
I call it like a fustiness.
Fusty. But yeah, I really enjoyed that, and I was well happy with that purchase. I think I got it for 116 delivered. It's 162 in the shops.
Do you want me to wind you up?
Go on.
I sent a link to Brian on Scotch Whisky Auctions. I sent him a link to it, not to you because you've already bought one bottle.
Yeah.
He picked it up for 75.
Did he?
Plus fees.
So what's that? 80 odd?
Probably 90, including delivery. So
I went against the wrong person.
Yeah, you went against the wrong. Yeah.
RRP.
Well, I mean, it's still.
I love how you were so happy thinking I was going to react badly to that.
It's a bargain either way.
What's been
up my arse? So, other than the dog padding around, a lot of people now, you know, everyone's got more dogs these days.
Yeah.
So these are two classics from me. Lockdown dogs. So, everyone's got. And people don't pick up their dog's mess, which really worries me. But when we're walking around, I can see it and I just avoid it. But Leo walks so close to it.
Like, he wants a bit of it, doesn't he? It's like he wants to wee on it or sniff it.
It's like he wants to get close to the flame. No, he doesn't. He's interested in wee. Dogs are not interested in other dogs' poo.
But they'll wee on poo to mark it up.
Maybe he never sniffs dog poo. He's never ever done that. Just that I don't want him to accidentally stand in it. So we end up like zigzagging down the pavement, and it looks like I'm sort of half dragging him around, and I'm just like, don't walk in that, because then I've got to clean your paws, right?
He's not going to walk in shit. He knows what he's doing.
I don't know. He's only
got to lick him after.
I give him a 5 out of 10 for intelligence. You know, maybe 4. It's not the sharpest tool. Sometimes he's just so obsessed, like looking at something else. And he's like thinking about something else. The other thing is, I went to Hastings Seaside Town, which felt like I'd visited some sort of zombie apocalypse.
Yeah,
Sure,
it's like going back to the 1930s. If Shaun of the Dead happened in the
1930s,
boom,
by the sea.
Yeah,
yeah. Plus, I've talked about potholes before, but I've never seen anything like it. It was like an ocean of potholes.
No, that's a cliff, mate. That was a cliff.
I get to a road, and I'd say 100 meters was just. Hundred meters of road would just be look like someone had just attacked it with a pneumatic drill, just holes everywhere. And I was looking at it, going, "I my mouth was genuinely open. Like I could not get my head around."
That is Kent life.
My mind was blown. And now, when I came back for a whole week, I was like looking around here, going, "The roads are fantastic."
Yeah,
but they're not. They're rubbish here as well. But it's just that in Hastings.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like they didn't have roads. They might as well just revert to sort of mud.
Like going back to the old Roman cobbled.
Just strip away the tarmac and just go back to the sort of gravelly mud.
I did see someone post that on social media the other day, and it was like in Glasgow, and probably like 5 meters of tarmac had been removed. Like it just come away. And underneath is the thousands of years old Roman road, and it's still there, still solid. And the Glasgow tarmac's been there about 4 months and it's gone.
What do they do these days? I don't know what they put in it. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Cheers to you. We've got in our glass now. Paul Main from Whiskey Toast. Also ambassador for Hunter Lang.
Obviously Ardnahoe as well down the line.
Ardnahoe too, yes, true. He kindly a while ago gave us 6 blind drams to try. And so we haven't tried them. So we're going to do one an episode for the next 6 episodes or until we've got through them.
Yes.
So we've poured number one of six into our glass. So we'll be having a wee guess about what we think this is.
And for clarity, so Paul's given us the drams, but we don't, they're just numbered, but he has given us the list of what bottles they are. So it's not like we're pulling bottles out of our ass. We have got a rough idea of what they may or may not be.
Yeah, we often, we're doing blind. It's completely blind. We have no idea, but I think when Paul does these whiskey tastings, and Paul, just if I say this, if I'm wrong, apologise, correct us. I think that they'll do whiskey tastings with groups, and they'll say what whiskeys they are, and then the group try to identify the whiskey from them. So I think he's done a similar thing with us here. So I've got the six drams in alphabetical order. It could be an Aaron 24-year-old, 55%. It could be a Dalyuan 13-year-old, 46%. Could be a Glenfarclas 12-year-old, 47.5%, Oloroso Sherry.
Yeah.
The Dalyuan was Sherry Butt as well. It could be Glenrothes 16-year-old, 50% refill Sherry Butt. It could be a Milton Duff 28-year-old. Goodness me, 50.6%. Or it could be a Scarabus Isla Single Malt Naz at 57%. I'm pretty sure
we got the Scarabus.
That one's going to be easy. But the other five, I think, could be super difficult.
I think so, number one is peated. So, therefore, I'm going to say it's the Isla Single Malt.
You think number one's peated?
I'm getting peat.
I don't get any peat at all.
Really?
This is already massively controversial.
Let me just fucking check. I poured number one.
I definitely poured number one there.
Definitely. None on the nose.
No, I'm not getting any peat.
Are you not getting peat? I am, like, either peat or super amounts of oak.
No, I think it's more on the sort of kind of slightly sort of sulfury side, and there's kind of a sort of bitterness. It could be more oak. I think it's more likely to maybe be an older.
To be fair, I have turned slightly peat blind.
Oh my God. Which is... Why are you doing a whiskey podcast, Tupids? What is wrong with you? We'll get you together in a corner with Jeff Whiskey.
No, I was speaking with Roy about this as well, Aqua Vitae, and where you become accustomed to drinking peated whiskey, right. And I have been dramming on the peated cognac before we came on. You kind
so you've
of
had peat already
get,
this evening.
Yeah, you get desensitized different. To peat, but I am generally becoming desensitized to peat. But I would have said that's peated, but there's so much sulfur on the nose.
It's definitely got a bit of sulfur in it. I quite like it. Couple of listener stories. You said
yes.
I do one, you do one.
Yep. So you posted on Twitter about your Eagle Rare turning up. But you've said you're going to be out. And then that has inspired a response from one of our listeners. So Sam Swindles, thanks for letting us know. But he said, I just wish Amazon weren't so strict with the IDing for alcohol products. Otherwise, I'd use their lockers because you can obviously then sneak your whiskey buy into a little secure locker. You don't have to like get it to the house. Other sites offer drop-off locations, which has saved his bacon on a few occasions. Yeah. And he was quite cocky in saying it, only for his mother-in-law to be, Louise, to be seeing his tweets.
Was that his mum-in-law?
Yeah. Is that right, funny. Sam? Question mark, question mark. I was like, yes, absolutely busted in the open.
Busted.
Love it. So that was good. Thank you for replying. And thank you to Louise for catching him out.
Keeping an eagle eye. You're welcome. You're welcome. So we've only gone and got another message from Gordon from Tooting.
Oh, God. How is he now?
Well, how is he? He says, my left ear has now been blocked for several days, and that after pinging my hamstring. I wouldn't mind, but it means I'm now constantly turning around to hear people. And this is exacerbated as I currently have a neck brace on, which was caused when I was listening to episode 38 about two-person parties. The only change I made to my diet recently was a few drams of Eagle Rare 10. Is it a coincidence that ear, leg, ear is an anagram of that? I'm now worried I'll lose hearing in my right ear too. That's Gordon from Tooting there.
It's a serious concern. It is a well-known condition that acronyms can cause.
Acronyms can cause. Acronyms of your favourite whiskey can cause. Yeah, it's too true. Well, all I can say, Gordon, is we appreciate you you know, buying the whiskey that we talk about. But sorry that it's given you so many problems in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, all I can suggest is going out and getting a bottle of Pendaren Legend. It might just restore your faith in yourself and everything else in
your
body. Might
be one he can sell you for 1,500 quid.
Yeah. Thank you, Bryn Terfel.
Bryn Terfel, eh? He's an opera singer or something, some sort of baritone.
He is an opera singer, yeah. So that, yeah, that was mental.
I don't understand
that one still.
I might just take the bottles that I've got and just put some gaudy gold label on the front and then just spray paint the rest of the bottle, sort of a.
Oh no, it's not even spray painted. Red. It is a thick velvet bottle. So that red is actually velvet with the gold plaque. I don't think it's real gold. It might need to be to justify the price.
It should be for the price these days.
Because it went for like £1,600 and it's just a 43% ex-burbs, nothing special whatsoever.
Yeah,
bottling that I picked up for like 50 quid.
I'm now on a mission. When I was around, I popped around Mike's last week and I just started picking up random bottles from the
God.
Shelf. And then I was about to twist the top of one and Mike went to me, oh, no, that's the whatever it is, some sort of special 70s edition or something.
You what picked was I going to twist the top fair, of? I wouldn't have actually cared that much. It was a Johnny Walker, like 70s or 80s Johnny Walker 12.
If I can find that bottle of Pendaren, I'll be pulling the cork out.
If it's next to the Pendaren, go for it. The Pendaren.
Pendaren. Pendaren. We've done the list of how to pronounce Scottish distilleries, not Welsh distilleries.
So. No, I'll do that list. Yeah. It's very short,
too,
very easy.
Too long, isn't it? Three.
In the Welsh wind, it's coming.
Oh, three. Mm. One in the pipeline.
A do.
So, shall we crack into this celeb top trumps? Or actually, before we do that, what are we going to have as a guest for the whiskey toast? What do we think? I can't believe you said you think it's got peat in it.
Yeah, as I'm tasting it now, it hasn't. It's just
it's got peat in
it. It's oak, not peat.
But you're making me second guess everything that I think I thought I know about whiskey just from saying such ridiculous guesses.
Now, like you said, it's heavily sherried. I'm kind of... It's dry. Oloroso, it's got to be the Glenfarclas Oloroso.
I think it's the Glenfarclas Oloroso sherry, personally, yeah.
Now
so that's our
settled.
Guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's our guess. It doesn't. If it is one of the older...
I'm going to write it.
Definitely not
the
Arran. It's definitely not Dalyuan. It could also be the Glenrothes. That's possible. Oh. It's either the Glenfarclas 12-year-old or the Glenrothes, but I feel like it's the Glenfarclas.
Yeah, because I don't think I've had that sherry note off... Sorry, I don't think I've had that sulfur note off many drams other than Farclas. It does tend to be quite sulfury.
It tastes more Glenfarclas to me. It's a nice whiskey, though. Thanks very much, Paul. Enjoyable dram.
Don't tell us till we're through, by the way, just in case you hear it.
All right. You're going to have to wait 6 weeks to tell us.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's true. We'll have to do a recap at the end.
Yeah, yeah. Who is top of the trumps? Yeah. Top trumps. Yeah. Top trumps. Yeah.
Celeb top trumps. Rod Stewart versus Matthew McConaughey. McConaughey.
Yes.
Is that right?
Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey.
All right. So good. Legend. Just straight off the top, Rod Stewart famous for singing, crooning.
Yep.
Matthew famous for acting.
And both equally famous for shagging.
Both done a lot of other stuff as well.
Yeah.
Currently, Rod lives in Essex. Sorry,
Essex!
Sir Rod Stewart.
Thank you.
Apologies. Sir Rod Stewart lives in Essex. He is 79 years old.
And he's 79th in line for the throne, I believe that's how it works. So.
Yeah, he should be in line for the throne. He'd make a much better king. And he's 1.78 centimetres tall. He's 1.78 meters tall, right?
Yeah. What I'm going to say, he's not like, if it doesn't fit in your pocket, but I'm questioning that 1.78 because there's a picture of him with Penny Lancaster, who is 1.85 meters. And there is not 7 centimeters difference there. That is a good foot minimum.
I think I heard a story, Rod actually telling the story about how he chatted up Penny Lancaster. I think it might be because he's had a few wives, or certainly he's on maybe more than two, maybe it could be third. No idea. Not closely following Rod Stewart's marital life, Sir Rod Stewart's marital life. But I'm pretty sure that he said, someone asked him about chat lines. He said, I just asked them what's in their handbag. He's like, hey, what's in your handbag? And that's it. Well, that was his in. Sometimes it's so simple. And there's all these people struggling through life, getting swiped X amount of times on Tinder. Just show an interest in the person.
I'd heard that they'd met years ago, probably like the 1980s, right, during a TV advert.
Well, possibly.
And Rod Stewart was that kid that jumped on the Yellow Pages to give her a kiss.
Right. I mean, I'm sure that's also possible, but apparently it was something to do with asking what was in her handbag. What do you think he went, what have you got in that handbag? What a
cash line.
Yeah, cash. Cash and Lippy.
Yes.
Could be whiskey samples these days. Modern lady could be carrying whiskey samples around with them. Mm. And Matthew McConaughey is 1.82 metres tall. Thought he was taller than that.
Good height.
54 years old. You guessed older than that, didn't you, Mike? You said I thought 58. Doesn't look 58, to be fair, but maybe it's just because he's been
seen
around
a recent photo of him.
No, the internet just brings up photos. I haven't asked for a photo from this week.
Get a recent one. I'm reckoning he's looking 58.
Text him.
No offense, Matthew, if you reply to this or retweet anything, I'll edit this bit out.
Oh, he's a legend though, isn't he? I mean, they both are in their own right. So he lives in Texas. Apparently he moved from California, so he now lives in Texas, which is much more bourbon territory, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
100%. Well, cowboy hats and...
I mean, I don't think so. I think America is bourbon. Doesn't really matter where it is.
Liberal California. They'll be drinking all kinds of wacky... they'll be drinking
organic apple juice strained through a ferret's...
They'll be on whatever the latest trendy spirit is these days, whereas in Texas they'll be like,
I think it's whiskey.
We drink whiskey. Yeah.
I know, I think the latest trendy one is whiskey.
Oh, that is it?
Yeah.
No, they're saying that whiskey sales are going to be... mezcal and a couple of other drinks are really on the rise in countries like America, and there's a sort of not a decline in whiskey, but there's just, you know, the other drinks categories are picking up more steam, basically. Maybe not in England, but you know,
yeah,
America, apparently. America. So categories, last time we did this
categories,
it was Sam Heughan versus Jensen Button, JB. This time, so we're going to go with the same categories, aren't we? Right.
Yes.
So the format for people listening is we run through some categories, which are going to be height. No, not height. We've done that. Awards. Fitness. Are we doing fitness? Followers.
Yeah.
Blue Steel, which is posing. Bottle design, because they both have celebrity whiskies.
Yes.
Price. And then obviously we're going to blind taste some whiskies to see if we can pick out the whiskey and see which one we think is the winner of the pool of whiskies. And we've got Wolfie's, which is
the Rod Stewart's
whiskey, alongside Cutty Sark and Queen Margot.
Queen Margot, which was the Lidl blend. I think it cost about 13 quid.
Yeah.
That was based on a recommendation from Ralphie a little while back. He said it's a really good base for making your own blends. From it, it's quite easy to improve and boost that ABV.
Yeah, but they're all 40%. And then we've got Long Branch in a pool of two versus Eagle Rare 10.
Yes.
Yeah, which should be easier for you because you've drunk way more Eagle Rare 10 than I have. But yeah, so we'll see, right?
Yeah.
So where should we start? Should we start with...
It's got to be awards, isn't it?
Yeah, go on then. So you did a bit of research, did you?
Well, I think we've both done a bit of research, but both have got a good number of accolades.
Yeah, they both won loads, but what are the ones that matter, Mike?
So the ones that stood out to me, so Sir Rod Stewart, as all celebrities should have, has got their Hollywood Walk of Fame star.
Oh, I didn't find that one out.
Yeah, he was granted the star. Back in 2008, I believe, or 2008,
right.
2004. Anyway, he was given that. McConaughey was later. He's also got a star, but McConaughey's kind of got a few years on him in terms of like leeway. Rod Stewart's been around for a fair bit, so probably could have got that Hollywood star a little bit sooner.
Very critical of you, but okay.
Well, you know.
How many Hollywood stars have you got, Mike?
Six.
Six.
Yeah, which... just the ones you can print and take home. Yeah. Every Vegas trip.
Yeah.
Not picking up on that. LA. I was seeing if you went.
Okay.
Hollywood.
Yeah, go on.
So in terms of actual awards for work, I sort of just rolled through because there's a few really cool ones. So Sir Rod Stewart has to be one of the few people with two entries in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
One solo and one with Faces.
Yeah.
That's class, like to actually be in there twice. Yeah. So I say, ooh la la, Rod Stewart, very well done.
He's also sold over 100 million records. He's in the top 50 for all-time record sales.
Only just got his first number one, though, on his record with Jules Holland recently.
Forget about that. Top 50 all-time for record sales.
Yeah, I know. But
that's crazy.
Didn't have a number one until recently.
I also noticed that he's won a Grammy, he's won a Brit, and he's won an Ivor Novello.
Yes.
Plus, he has a CBE and is Sir Rod Stewart there. Thus, he has been knighted. He is a knight of the realm.
He is.
So he's won a fair bit, plus a Hollywood star, plus the two entries into Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's pretty cool.
You would say, and the award for top user of hairspray as well. Let's not forget that.
He's doing all right. His silly award, as I've written down silly next to it, according to Rod Stewart, James Brown called him music's best white blues singer in 2006. But that's his own claim. So I could also say that he said I was the second best and no one was here to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
James Brown, 2005, James Brown said that I was the best of the two Honest to a Malt podcasters. Before the podcast even came out. He was looking into the future.
Yeah. I mean, to put a bit of clarity on, I saw James Brown in 2002.
Did you?
At a Chili Peppers concert.
Right.
And the bloke couldn't see anything but Sex Machine. Literally. Yeah. So they just wheeled him out and he's like, man, a Sex Machine is amazing. Bum, bum, and then he'd sing like Sex Machine and then they'd change to a song and he'd go, hey, London! Sex Machine! And they start again.
Can I just say, what a shame that James Brown hasn't done a whiskey, because we're not going to get to do a Celebrity Top Trance pod about him. So if him or his estate could somehow cobble together that he could be associated to whiskey, it'd be much appreciated.
I very much doubt there's any money makers from the looking to gain from the death and of his estate at all. Definitely no one would be interested in that. No. Of course not.
So, awards for Matthew McConaughey.
So, Academy Award, Best Actor, 2014.
Two Academy Awards.
Two?
Yeah, he got two. He got one in 2014, one in 2015.
What was the one in 15?
Oh, and then maybe you got one of those, but two Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So he got one Academy Award in 2014.
I think he got two. One for Dallas Buyers Club, one for True Detective.
Going back.
But anyway.
A few moments later.
Matthew McConaughey has one Academy Award in 2014 for Best Actor for Dallas Buyers Club. He also got a Golden Globe in the same year for the same film. He has an absolute plethora of awards from MTV Movie Awards. What else he had? The Russian National Movie Awards, obviously. Mm. He's won that 5 times. Very popular in Russia for some reason. And
who cares about awards in Russia? Rod, we're saying the top level awards. So if we look at Rod Stewart's top level awards, Grammy, Brit, Ivor Novello, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice, Hollywood star, knighted, CBE. If you look at Matthew McConaughey's like top level awards, if he was like introducing himself at a cocktail party, he's like, I'm kind of a big deal. I've got this. He would say 2 Golden Globes, 1 Oscar, 1 Hollywood star.
Mm.
What else? What else are you putting in that kind of category?
The Teen Choice Awards.
Teen Choice Awards.
Movie Lip Lock Award. He got the best kiss with Case Hudson in 2003.
Look, that's a lovely...
I reckon he'd lead with that.
He'd lead with that. I'm sure he would if he was joking, but if he was really introducing himself. My point is, I think Rod Stewart
wins. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
I see that girl over there. All right. I've locked lips with that girl. That's Kate Hudson right there. All right.
What is it he says in Wolf of Wall Street when they're sitting down having the meal?
Boom.
Yeah. Boom. Oh.
Yeah.
But he says something like, it's twice a day. That's amateur level.
Oh, it's about wanking in toilets, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. That's amateur level. Amateur. You need to get that. You need to get that right. That
get your numbers up.
You need to get your numbers up. It's rookie numbers. Yeah. Anyway, he's actually very famous. I feel like Matthew McConaughey has been in more romantic comedies than I've had hot meals. That guy was like, he was in rom-coms.
Yep.
Seemingly every single rom-com for a period of his life and my life. And it was him. And there's another actor was in almost every romantic comedy. I'll try to remember his name. I feel like it's the guy that was in that drug cartel series on Netflix, Ozark. He was in a lot of rom-coms as well for a while, but not as many as Matthew McConaughey. But sometimes these actors just get in a lane and that's it. But Matthew has broken out of that lane and he's able to talk about rookie numbers during the day in a film such as Wolf of Wall Street. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to go into a bar anywhere or have a lunch somewhere and then just tell them that you want another whiskey brought every 15 minutes until you pass out.
That's fucking class.
I'll have an old fashioned. We'll have two old fashions every 15 minutes until we pass out.
God bless the 80s.
Yeah. So I feel like Rod Stewart wins that category of awards.
I think he does.
I think he does, comfortably.
Just on sheer numbers, I don't think the Russian movie awards quite hold as much gravitas.
Yeah.
And I don't think Matthew would have a problem with Sir Rod Stewart taking that crown.
I hope not.
Especially, seems like a lovely fella.
I feel like Matthew's probably got more to come. He's at that kind of peak level, mid-50s. He's probably got another... 5 years of top level movies.
And, do you reckon he's like hoping Woody Harrelson dies? Because I feel like he'd be a natural slip into any movie Woody Harrelson could do. He'd just like, boom, all right, that's me.
Woody Harrelson is, if we wanted to try to meet any Hollywood actor who's actually does stuff in London, who also loves his whiskey, it'd be Woody Harrelson. The guy loves his whiskey.
Does he?
Yeah, big whiskey fan, like huge. Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe I won't wish death on him. Not that I was.
Please don't, because it would be nice to meet him.
Yeah. Love you, Woody.
So, next category. Should we move on and do fitness?
Yeah. Well,
I'm just going to say, I feel like Rod's got this one comfortably in the bag. So, I watched this clip of Matthew McConaughey talking about how he just squeezes press-ups in during the day. And I thought that's quite inspiring. And I've actually tried that and it works. He's like, I just get to, meeting's boring. I just get down and do 20 push-ups.
Are you trying to say you've got the same physique as Matthew McConaughey?
Definitely not. What I'm trying to say is this is a guy that has a fitness ethos. Like he just bangs out 200 push-ups a day just in between doing stuff and then goes for a run occasionally. And that's what he sort of described as his fitness routine in that video that I watched. Whether that's still the case, don't know. Yeah. Rod Stewart, to quote the man, says, surely if God had meant us to do yoga, he would have put our heads behind our knees. I'm not getting the sense that he is big into his fitness. What was the SAS quote then?
So he's basically like in an interview with Men's Health said he works out extensively. He is generally very fit. He's played football all his life. He doesn't smoke. He says he trains four times a week.
Right.
At least one of those consists of the same underwater drills that the SAS do. He's described that as you have a big rubber brick and you've got to swim the length of the pool
and push it
the length of the pool on the bottom. So he's doing lengths underwater pushing a brick.
Wow.
So I'm actually...
You feel like Rod Stewart
I was taken aback. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know McConaughey's workout schedule,
just
but slipping in the odd press-up is, I don't know... I feel like Rod Stewart's going to live forever and he could probably take on people in a fight. And didn't he punch a reporter once or something?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Rod Stewart punched a reporter. Easy there.
Yeah.
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 Well, I can't. Maybe we're doing Matthew McConaughey down now. He says he's a busy father of three, but he makes time to work out even at home. A typical workout consists of pull ups, sprints in the backyard, free weights, that kind of stuff. He likes mountain biking and surfing. I can totally picture him surfing. He looks like a guy who surfs. So it's hard to say, but I have to say, based on his age and just the fact that he's a right laugh, I sort of feel like Rod Stewart might edge the fitness thing. I mean, if he really pushes a brick along the bottom of a swimming pool, that's pretty hardcore.
But I'm also picturing Father Jack or Father Ted with a brick on a string and it's like attached to his swimming shorts and it might be a slight exaggeration of the truth.
Do you think so? It could be embellished.
It could be the... the James Brown quote all over again. I'm saying Matthew McConaughey would physically kick the smoke out of an old British man.
What happens if Rod was 54 as well, though?
Matthew McConaughey. Got him on height. Got him on build. Taking him out.
I feel like Rod would have. I feel like Rod would be dirtier. Like Sir Rod would be dirtier. I feel like he would.
I think Rod would be happier to glass you. He's going to wrap a bottle of Wolfies around your head.
Do you reckon? They're going to kick off. All right, we'll give it to Matthew then. Fair enough.
I think it's 1-1.
All right, 1-1. Followers, we can do this one pretty quickly.
Oof, yeah. So that's an easy victory.
Yeah, it's a bit of a landslide. So Matthew McConaughey rocking in on Twitter/X at 3 million and Instagram at 9.5 million. Just 9.5 million. Yeah. Rod Stewart, Twitter/X, 532,000 and Instagram, 1.4 million. So
what I would say, what's his MySpace? Because I reckon Rod Stewart's smashing the MySpace. Hey,
and aren't either of them on Blue Sky? Because I feel like they should win if they're on Blue Sky, just for being so forward-thinking. How many things have they bought on Facebook Marketplace? That's what I want to know. Are they buying are they buying secondhand stuff on Facebook Marketplace?
What's his Uber? I want to know the Uber ratings.
Have either one of them sold their barely used slippers on Facebook Marketplace to somebody rather than just chucking them away?
Then we'll calling that a 2-1.
2-1 to Matthew.
To Matthew.
So we got on to Blue Steel then.
Yes.
So Blue Steel / Shrexiness.
Shrexiness indeed. Now, this is a difficult one.
I feel like for posing, it's Matthew, but for Shrexiness overall, that pure magnetic rock and rollness, it would be Sir Rod Stewart. So should we have them as two categories?
I don't know, because like you look at
you're looking
at him recently.
But let me explain it to you like this, right? So I feel like when I look at Sir Rod Stewart.
What happens to you when you look at Rod Stewart?
I feel like he looks like, especially these days, like someone's gran who's single and ready to mingle. He's got that kind of like retiree going on a French going on a French learning course like vibe going on. Like the hair, the sort of spiked hair and sort of cravats and things and whatever else.
Someone that sings on a cruise liner.
Like Mrs. has kept herself in shape type thing, right? You know, looks after herself. She's got older, but the hair, it still has to have slightly shorter hair than they used to have. That's my kind of vibe on that. But it's still massively confident. And if you're going to rock around and look like that, you've got to have something going on. It's like that whole sort of peacocking.
I don't think he's ever had that Blue Steel, though. You look back at his
pictures. Some of his younger pictures. But Matthew is a born, he's born
model.
I know you want the goodies.
Welcome to the goodie room.
Born model. He loves doing that serious Blue Steel Zoolander pose for the camera.
Matthew is a beautiful man.
I would give Shrexiness to Rod, and I would give Blue Steel to Matthew.
Fine. Still 3-2 to Matthew after that.
The other thing is, Matthew McConaughey is very hard to spell. If you had to write it down.
Oh, mate, I just guess and I just have to Google it.
It's one of those things, though. I feel like you'd have to learn it. Like, I wonder how many people have got his surname wrong when they're trying to write it down. Like, it's very difficult.
I just like the fact that he wears a burnt orange suit in his Facebook profile picture.
Does he? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, with the at the Texas Stadium, the Longhorns. So he's repping the... Go Longhorns! Hook 'em.
What are your favourite films in that he's been in? I mean, I'll kick one off. I thought Interstellar was incredible. Loved it. Wolf of Wall Street's brilliant.
Wolf of Wall Street, brilliant. But I think the one that's obviously won.
In Tropic Thunder, wasn't he?
Yeah, but Dallas Buyers Club was just.
I don't think I've seen Dallas Buyers Club. That's when he won the Academy Award.
Really good movie. Really good movie. It's pretty thought provoking. Good acting, good story, all round good. I would say that's probably his.
But if you go back, his best films have definitely been recently. Like The Gentleman was amazing; he was brilliant in that. Have you seen The Gentleman?
No, I don't think.
You've got to watch that; it's incredible. It's got Hugh Grant in it as well. It's like
Guy Ritchie.
Is it not a Guy Ritchie film, The Gentleman?
Is that brand new?
Yeah, it's pretty new. Well, it's not brand new, but I mean...
2009. Oh, I know it. Okay, 2019.
Yeah, it's Guy Ritchie. I'm right. It's Guy Ritchie, yeah. Okay, yeah. You should totally watch that. Top recommend. Hilarious. So, whereas... Oh, The Dark Tower. That was okay. That was 2017. I watched that. But Interstellar, Wolf of Wall Street, Dallas Buyers Club, Gentlemen, Magic Mike for the Ladies.
Yeah, The Boss.
Tropic Thunder was pretty funny. And I'm sure there's been some other good films. Maybe like
Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, Dazed and Confused. That's where
that was his first film, I think.
That's where the All Right comes from, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about Rod Stewart's best songs? I'm Sailing, Wake Up Maggie. Didn't he do the first Cuts the Deepest? But that was actually a cover, really. That's not it's not his. Do You Think I'm Sexy?
Do You Think I'm Sexy is the massive one. But yeah, he is like the cover god, isn't he? He's done a fair few covers.
He's sort of got, they've both got 3, 4, 5 classics, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like really well-known songs or movies. Films, if you're English. Movies,
they're
if you're American.
Intrinsic to family viewing or listening, like you, everyone in your household.
Well, the rom-com stuff, definitely. I mean,
my Matthew McConaughey film. Everyone will know a Rod Stewart song. It's like a birthright. It's a given. You will know, or you'll be taught one of these when the time is right.
Oh,
you will
if it's karaoke, Rod Stewart,
yeah,
for sure. Plus, if you're out at the football or something, everyone starts singing. Or rugby. So bottle design. We have to talk about bottle design. So it's Wolfie's.
Yes. Wolfie.
We should say here as well.
But yeah.
Loch Lomond kindly sent us a bottle of Wolfie's. Big Gary. So we could, Gary Mills, thank you. So that we could do this. We're also going to be getting people to try Wolfie's and collecting your thoughts. So if you're interested, involved in doing that.
Yeah, if you want a Wolfie sample,
reach out to us.
Within reason, as long as like hundreds of people.
No, you've got to be UK.
We haven't got a lot of whiskey. We've got like 3/4 of a bottle left.
But the first people to contact us, if you want to, but you have to give us a soundbite or something or record
clip. Or a video, ideally.
Because we're going to be montaging it together. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the bottle, it's a rascal of a thing. That's what they've said. And it has a picture of a wolf on the front with playing cards. It feels like it's kind of aimed at sort of Vegas and pubs and Irish bars. It kind of has a sort of a baseball-y type theme, Wolfies, for me. You know, like, it could be on a baseball shirt, couldn't it? Don't you think?
Whereas the Long Branch is a stubby little bottle, quite wide base, thin. I would say it's like they've gone digging in Buffalo Trace and found a really old bottle somewhere in the ground and gone, that sexy. And Wild Turkey, sorry.
It's got...
And dug it up.
It's got these kind of curves on the side. It reminds me a bit of a Johnny Walker single barrel select type thing, you know, that kind of sort of square type vibe to it.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I think it's a really decent bottle, and what I say, although Rod Stewart,
not Johnny
is more
Walker,
likely,
Jack Daniels. I mean Jack Daniels. Sorry, so this is what happens when we're trying to think and talk at the same time.
Although Rod Stewart is more likely to hit you over the head with a bottle of whiskey,
look up.
We established.
I think he
would choose the Long Branch over the Wolfies to hit you with, I think.
Look up Jack Daniel's single barrel select and tell me that doesn't look quite similar to the Long Branch.
Yeah, no, I got one.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? Really similar.
I'm saying no.
What are you talking about?
I'm looking at 3 of them right now. They're not even close.
Right, okay, fair enough. It's square versus sort of rectangle.
Oh, Jack Daniel's or Jim Beam?
No, Jack Daniel's.
Oh, yeah, no.
Okay, Jim Beam, maybe. Maybe
don't probably. Fucking grab at stuff now. The Jim Beam single barrels, maybe,
Jim Beam?
Slightly more.
I should have just gone,
Yeah, no. That's what I meant, Jim Beam.
Now, they both cost... Oh, no, we're doing the cost separately. So what do we think of bottle design? Personally, originally, I wasn't too keen on the Wolfies, but it's really grown on me. It's kind of fun.
I really like the design. It's funky, it's cool.
It's fun.
If it was on a shelf, it would stand out.
Yeah, that's
amongst the others.
But don't you think originally, when I looked at it originally, I thought, oh, it doesn't look that serious. It's not supposed to be serious. It's supposed to be fun.
It's literally fun. It's like Sir Rod himself. It's just a game for a laugh.
Lots of stars.
Whereas,
you know, when people, I used to work for a marketing agency when I was younger, and one of the old guys, he'd say, look, if in doubt, just put ticks on everything for them. He's like, tick, then say something, tick, and then say something. I feel like they've just gone, just chuck 5 stars on it a few times, and people will just think it's scored 5 out of 5. It's like an old marketing tactic.
It's basically like Sonic the Hedgehog with a wolf.
But you know what I mean? Either side of blended Scotch whiskey, and where it's his first release, they've put 5 stars on either side. Now, it's not obviously scored 5 stars. They've just put it on there and subconsciously makes you think that it's a 5-star whiskey. Those clever marketing people.
Clever, clever people.
We should change our Honest to a Malt logo so it just has 5 stars in it.
To that, I say, all right, all right, all right.
So what is our favourite bottle, Mike? Wild Turkey Long Branch or Wolfies? I'm going to go for Wolfies.
Long Branch.
Well, how are we going to decide then? Because we are on opposing sides of this.
It's a draw.
Right, fine, draw.
Unless you put it to a public vote.
Could do.
See if it's hanging in the wind.
Only if it's going to change the result, though.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Fair enough. Price. They're both priced really similarly. They're both sort of £32 to sort of £35. To be honest, it's very similar pricing. So, and Wolfies is 40% ABV and Long Branch is 43. So for a bourbon, Long Branch is kind of on the sort of lower end, and Wolfies is obviously the lowest point ABV point it can be to be whiskey.
Yep.
So both in that kind of box. That leads us on to the tasting, the fun part, right?
Yes.
So which one do you want to go for first? Do you want to do the...
Should you get the bourbon out of the way?
Yes.
Not out of the way. That's a negative thing.
Okay.
For our American listeners, we're going to start with the bourbon first.
Well, it's funny you should say that. I was saying, if I'm ever asked to do blind drams, pick 5 drams again, because I've done it twice.
Yeah.
I'm going to do bourbons. And Brian was like, you're never doing it. I was like, open your mind.
He won't let me.
It's an easy way to not get picked. Right, so I have no idea which one's which. I've got stickers on the bottom of the glass. I can't see what it says. I mixed them around loads.
Yeah, I've got A and B in mine.
I feel like Eagle Rare 10 is more herbal. Okay, so one feels more kind of caramelly, creamy on the nose. And one for me has more peanuts going on in it, herbs on top of the caramel.
So I could put it down to one is nice, fruity, cherry. The other one has still
just
got
on the nose or tasting it.
Yep, just on the nose. The other one has got obviously the vanilla stuff. There's a touch of peanut, but there's like a mesquite wood running through it, like a wood you use for smoking.
Oh, Texan okay, food. I see what you mean. I think that's the Eagle Rare 10, right?
No.
Other way around?
Long Branch. I think so.
I don't think I'd get that. But for me, if I'm smelling... Well, what I think is the Long Branch.
Yeah.
I'm just getting a lot of like vanilla, caramel, toffee. But I could be wrong. Could be that I just don't know which one's which, or is the other one.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident I know these two.
It's got loads of peanuts in it on the nose.
Yeah.
But okay. Does either one list peanuts on the nose in their tasting notes?
The Long Branch have gone extensively into detail on their tasting notes.
What do they say?
The nose is vanilla.
Okay, should we try them then?
Yes. So I'm going to dive into my A, rich, super oaky, sweet. This is Eagle Rare. And my B.
Well, do you know what? The nose that I prefer is the one in my left hand.
Mm.
And the palate, too, I think. I think the one in my right hand feels slightly more alcoholic. Like it doesn't feel as smooth, doesn't feel as refined. And that's the one where I'm getting more kind of like peanut brittle and vanilla. That's kind of it, really. Yeah, like vanilla and peanut brittle. Maybe a hint of like caramel and taste. Not much.
So the one you said peanut brittle?
Peanut brittle and vanilla. Well,
you prefer the palate on that
one? No, not at all.
No.
I felt like the nose was originally bolder, but the other one's actually sweeter, which I prefer, actually.
Yeah.
This one is quite thin on the palate. It's, like, again, just vanilla, but thinnish. Yeah. There's definitely caramel in there. Maybe there's like a little bit of honey.
Yeah.
Slight citrusiness. And finish is like, some kind of like white pepper, buttery, caramel, vanilla. That's it. I feel like that's probably the Long Branch. And Oh, yeah. The nose on the other one has a lot more going on now.
Yeah, for me, it's night and day.
No alcohol burn either as well.
Totally different bourbons. Both really good plus points. So the A, I'm definitely saying, is Eagle Rare, 100%, no doubt. Fruity, more viscous, richer on the
maybe
palate.
Maybe that sort of toasted oak type note comes through a bit more.
Bit of like cinnamony sort of nutmeg spice that kind of runs through it along with that oak on A.
Do you also get like B. on, so on the one on the left hand, which I think is the older one, which is Eagle Rare, but you kind of get more of a sort of leathery note on the finish. Whereas the one which is going to call B, like, or the other one in my right hand, is not much, just sort of thin on the finish. Should we have a look and see what we've got on the glasses?
All right, can I talk about it first?
No.
So, yeah, the second one is quite clearly the Long Branch. Like I said, there's that smoked barbecue wood in there. There's oak in there. There's peanut butter. Very, like, if I'd gone in
peanut butter,
I didn't know what it was, I would have said that that was a Jim Beam.
Right. Okay. But isn't it? If it's
so, the, maybe like a Knob Creek, something like that.
But it, what? Sorry, what distillery is it again? Long Branch.
Wild Turkey.
Wild Turkey. Okay.
Which generally, like, if you get the 101, that's more traditional cherry cola sort of flavors. Similar, not going back in the direction of A, well, the first one, the Eagle Rare.
I'm really desperate to know which one's which now.
Go on. You
sorry,
dive.
So sorry. Do you want to do any more tasty notes on nosy notes?
No, I know what they are, definitely.
Okay, well.
100%.
So I think in my left hand is Eagle Rare 10. I think in my right hand is Long Branch. But so right hand, LB.
Yep.
Left hand, ER. So yeah, you can tell the difference. But I do think there are some positives to the Long Branch, which is I do like that peanut brittle type note in it. It's just a little thin on the palate and at the end, but it's very easy drinking, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the Eagle Rare 10 like, just has more substance to it.
Yeah. It's that those extra years make such a difference in bourbon, like huge amount of difference. I know it hasn't got Scottish people would be like, yeah, but the cask doesn't break down. You're not releasing all those hidden esters and things, blah, blah, blah.
That sort of wood, though, is giving it, it's letting imagination run away a bit. You almost get like sort of a medicinal type coffee medicine type note on the nose.
Yeah. There. You just wish Long Branch was at 45 or higher.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a really interesting dram.
Do you know what I mean when I say I think like Eagle Rare 10, it's sweet and savoury, whereas the Long Branch is just sweet. But the nose on Eagle Rare 10 is still sweet. You know, like it's just that the palate through to the finish is sort of sweet, savoury. Still sweet overall, obviously it's a bourbon, but just tempered sweetness, you know, more savoury than perhaps some other bourbons are.
It's one of the ones where a lower ABV doesn't necessarily make it a better sipper. The Eagle Rare, you could just drink that all day. I love Eagle Rare. But Long Branch, decent.
Did it live up to its tasting notes of vanilla?
Did it? Not massively. I mean, there is vanilla on there, but there's a hell of a lot more.
I think they need to perhaps, you know, up the tasting notes on the website.
Speak to us slightly.
Yeah. So
the actual palate notes were floral, honeysuckle, caramel, prunes, pear with citrus hints.
Honey, yeah, caramel, yes.
Yeah.
Pear,
honeysuckle, don't know. I'll go and chew one next time. We'll see what else they say. Floral, honeysuckle, caramel, prunes.
I don't think it's floral. So I'm going to say that that's not done too well because the tasting notes really should translate. Do you remember when we were doing Sassenach and Coachbuilt with the other ones?
Bang on.
That was tasting notes done properly. You could... Tasting blind, you could pick out the coffee on the Coachbuilt and you could pick out the fruit notes on the Sassenach. Yeah.
Oh, let me issue an apology to Long Branch.
You absolute div, Mike.
No.
Go on.
On their website, you've got their tasting notes. Then you scroll down and you've got slightly enhanced ones.
Go on, then go for the enhanced ones then.
Nose, caramel, vanilla, toffee with hints of oak.
That's actually pretty much on, yeah.
You've missed out the peanuts, which is like a massive part of that.
Right. You agree with me, then? Loads of peanut brittle or peanuts on
Yeah, yeah, 100%. That's why I would have said Jim Beam.
Right.
Because Jim Beam is resonant with peanut.
Give to me your peanuts.
Taste. A sweet bouquet up front with subtle notes of nutmeg and toffee, which, yeah.
Yeah.
Spice and a hint of oak provide a sturdy middle before giving way to smooth Kentucky straight bourbon finish. I don't think you can say my bourbon finish is a bourbon finish.
I think I stand by what we said. I think like the tasting notes aren't 100% nailed on for them, right? Personally. Obviously, you know.
Oh, there you go. It's actually oak and Texas mesquite charcoal refined. So same as, what's it called? Jack Daniels. I think maybe drain it through charcoal to take out some of the harsher notes.
Yeah.
They do that, but they use mesquite as well as oak. Right. So that's that mesquite note barbecue thing. Bang on. So 100%.
Let's withhold evaluation until we've tried the other blinds. So we've now got Queen Margot, which is a 3-year-old blend from Aldi or Lidl or something. Picked up by Ralphie, in the context of making
Sir Ralphie.
And Wolfie's tasting notes on the website say taking inspiration from Sir Rod's favourite dessert, warm apple pie. It packs a punch of flavours of warming cinnamon, fresh vanilla and baked apple, which does sound delicious. Mm. Has a delicate taste of sweet peat and pears in syrup, so slightly just a hint of peat. And finishes on candied citrus peels and gentle oak spice. So it's gently spicy, bit of a sort of citrusy fill up. So we're expecting sort of apple pie and cinnamon and maybe pear. So sort of orchard fruits, sweet orchard fruits on the palate. And we've also got, we've thrown Cutty Sark in the mix as well within the three. Yeah. So we've got 315 mils and blind again. Glencairn's, no idea which is which.
So interestingly, my dram won. I held it up and I just got flashbacks to being in London under the Cutty Sark.
Oh, no, I don't know now. I don't know. Hang on. No, I feel like that is Cutty Sark.
Yeah, I am immediately saying Dram 1, Cutty Sark. 100%. I'm confident. Two and three, quite similar noses. What say you on the nose? Between the other
two. Well, I feel like this one here is sort of floral, gentle. Let me know the other ones. Oh, that one doesn't have too much in it. It's, again, kind of floral and gentle.
My dram three has got a hint of pickled onion.
Yeah. Do you know what? I've tried it. I feel like it does have a sort of slight pickled note to it. It does. You're right. Yeah, there's... Okay, so the dram in my right hand here has a slight pickled note to it, but it's also floral and light. Whereas this one, currently, whatever this one is, this one's in a Kendall... One's in a Mac Mirror glass, one is in a Scotch Malt Whiskey Society glass, and one is in a Lakes glass. Glencairns. Just for the listeners that like Glencairns, feel free to rub your legs. In a... Shooting Stars type fashion.
Iranu.
Uvavu. So, yeah, actually now I'm thinking that this one here is the Cutty Sark because I never got that pickled onion note in it ever. Cutty Sark is floral, sweet, gentle.
Instantly made my mind up. My first dram I went to was Cutty Sark. I'm pushing it aside for now.
Right.
And I'm just trying to work out these.
That pickled onion, though, it's strange, isn't it? One's darker than the others, though. Oh, well, okay, right. Well, one of them has a slight peat note on it, so that's got to be Wolfie's.
They should both have.
Really?
I would imagine so. Yeah. Well, most blends have got peat in it.
Well, this one's slightly peatier. But I have to say, I'm not getting a whole lot on the palate on any of them, really, to be honest. They're just all really easy sipping.
I'm willing to say my dram one is Cutty Sark, my dram two is Wolfie, my dram three... With the pickled onion, it's Queen Margot.
I feel like I'm getting on this one some of the apple and spice and vanilla.
Which one?
the
non-pickled onions.
The Lakes glass one, yeah, non-pickled onions. I'm going to say that, and that's the one that feels peatier to me as well. So I'm going to say that's Wolfie's. And then I'm struggling between the Queen Margot and the Cutty Sark, but I think that the one with the more pickled onion note is the Queen Margot. So I'm going to say that's in the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society glass. And the Cutty Sark, which doesn't have that sort of strange pickled onion note in it, it's creamier as well on the nose. I'm going to say that's the Cutty Sark, which is in the Kendall whiskey glass. So hang on, before we do that though, what's your favourite of the three?
Yeah, that's what I was just, you have just to say, about to say.
So we've gone for what we think they are, but what's your favourite of the three? I'm tense about this, by the way. Can I just say, if I get Cutty Sark wrong, I'm going to be actually devastated. So, yeah.
So what I think is the Cutty Sark.
Scenes. If I get it wrong, scenes.
Not as much of a finish. Super, way more vanilla.
Oh, way more creamy on the nose. Less, so
yeah,
creamy.
Super creamy.
Creamy on the nose.
What I think is the Wolfie. Different beast, more peat,
more spice. More barley on the Cutty Sark as well.
Yep.
On the palate.
I think.
And it's
way more spice on the Wolfie.
More spice.
Nutmeg. Ginger. Loads of ginger. And then pickled onion. Not a million miles away from the Wolfie at the start, but then it takes a sort of acetone twist and it goes off.
I just feel like the orchard fruits, the spice, the vanilla, and that peat note sort of points to Wolfie.
Yeah.
Although, because they're all 40%, none of them really, the flavours are like, you're finding the flavours in them. You know, they're all very gentle, right? So if you'd had spicy food or lots of garlic for your dinner or whatever, you might struggle to pick the flavours out, but they're all very easy sippers. There's also quite a big price difference between them. So Cutty Sark's about £20, Wolfie's is £35, and this Queen Margot is what, like £13?
Mm-hmm.
Or pounds, if you're not from these parts, English pounds.
So I'm putting a caveat in. Summer, Cutty Sark, or Dram 1, which I think is Cutty Sark. Winter, Dram 2, which I think is Wolfie.
So should we do an unveil?
Dram 3, can fuck off. I really hope it's
not. Let's do an unveil.
I am.
And then talk about sort of favourites. You texting your missus? What are you texting her? Sweet dreams?
No, she knows the answers. I don't.
Oh, right. You moron. I'll wait to do my unveil.
And then I'll send a picture. Boom. 100%.
Right, so you're going to look on screen? So this one, I think, is Queen Margot.
Yep.
What's it say on the bottom?
Oh, QM.
So what do I say? Lakes, Wolfies, WO, which means that the other one cut yourself. So it was fairly easy to pick out the three from those. But what's your favourite of the three?
So as I said, Cutty Sark in the summer, Wolfie in the winter.
Right. Okay.
They're totally different blends.
Yeah.
I think they're coming from a different outlook entirely.
I feel like
Cutty's more drinkable.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't think really for the price difference it's really justifiable. Nope. I think even the Queen Margot has that slightly weird pickled onion note in it, but if you don't hate that note, that's also very drinkable. But there's only £7 between Cutty Sark and Queen Margot. Let's not forget, Prohibition is £27.50. Banger, right? And Blind, I've scored that high. So for me, I would spend the extra £7 probably to get the Cutty Sark over the Prohibition. Wolfie's is all on brand. It's good, but it's still a 40% whiskey. Yeah. And obviously for £35, you can get lots of other whiskies in that range. But if you're into it, because as in, you are going to get what they say. You are going to get the apple pie type thing, cinnamon. You're going to get a bit of spice. So the tasting notes are on point. So I'm going to say, personally, that the celebrity whiskies, I kind of feel like Wolfie's is better than Long Branch because they're different whiskies, but one hits its tasting note brief, does what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
And for value, maybe Long Branch is maybe slightly better, but they're both they're both sort of a stretch, because if you can get Eagle Rare 10 for 35 quid, Long Branch, yeah, do you see what I mean? So for value, these are both they're both sold on the sort of the name, the brand.
They're premium, it's brand, they're premium, you're paying for the...
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, goodness me, Coach Built was reduced to £32 to £35 on Drambusters the other day, right? Which is a 46% blend, isn't it?
That was a one-off, though. That
is a one-off.
Drambusters pricing can't be used as a retro.
We do advocate patience and observation when you...
Yeah, but not like that. If you wait for another one like that, you never buy a whiskey again.
Yeah, they're game of the
stock. So forget that sale.
Sorry about that, Mike.
Real.
Yeah. So we have to pick a winner in the category for tasting. So what are we going to pick? I mean...
I'm going up head to head. That's what I'm going
to
do.
You head to head at them. I've finished on one, so...
It's a decent bourbon,
isn't it? It's decent. I mean, if you choose the bourbon now, everyone's going to say that you hate scotch, but no pressure. I do really like bourbon, so...
But that's a very decent blend.
It's really hard, isn't it? That's why I feel
Wolfie's on taste, Long Branch on price.
But then I feel like Wolfie's should edge it because the tasting notes meet the brief. And I can't believe they missed that peanut brittle note on the Long Branch.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot miss that. It is...
Yeah, it's huge.
Huge. So I feel like we should give it to Wolfie's.
There's more going on. It's thicker. It's nice. It's just... It's more well-rounded. It doesn't drop off a cliff.
Right, so like what have we got in the summary then? Goes. We've got, for Shrexiness, it's Rod Stewart.
Oh, mate.
What?
It's 4-4, basically.
Right, we are going to have to put it to vote. So for Shrexiness, it's Rod Stewart. For awards, it's Rod Stewart. For fitness, it's Matthew McConaughey. For followers, it's Matthew McConaughey. For Blue Steel, i.e. posing, it's Matthew McConaughey.
This is like X Factor. The judges have all like, we've come out equal. What? It's down to the public vote.
Hang on, bottle design. What did we choose for bottle design?
A draw.
Price was draw.
Yeah.
Wolfie's for tasting. Yes, it's three apiece. Top trumps, strictly speaking, in top trumps, you play on the category and then you win or lose. So it's not about whether the card is better overall. It's about on the hand, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you say, you look at the hand and you go, okay, I've got Rod Stewart. I'm going to go for awards and you win, right?
Yeah.
You take the card, you know.
I've got an idea how to settle it.
It's such a blokey thing to have a winner, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, can't we just be happy? There must be a winner.
Oh, not again.
Were you internet?
No. Fucking dropping glasses.
You're back. Spillage.
Spillage.
Mike spilt more glasses of whiskey than in the time I've been doing.
No. I spilt one small glass of whiskey and
you've had like
one
three or four
giant glass of weird Tibetan tea alcohol.
I've never seen so much spillage. The Welsh Wayne Rooney, leaky as.
It's like the Welsh defence. Right. I've come up with a way of deciding how this is going to be done.
Roll the dice, flick a coin.
If you remember at the end of the pod last week, we talked about charity donations and how Grandad Steve, 61, is raising money for the Glasgow Children's Hospital.
Right.
So I think a fair way of deciding it is around charity donations now.
Okay, I'm interested now.
Rod Stewart has donated a whopping £10,000 to the NHS Grampian in Aberdeen to help patients fight cancer. So well done to you. Really good. Matthew McConaughey set up a foundation and it's raised £7.7 million for Texan storm relief.
Going to give it to Matthew then.
Matthew takes it on charity. Matthew is the winner of this
round,
in my humble opinion, if you agree.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm pretty easy either. But if you know, I did once see Sir Rod Stewart, in central London posing for pictures around the sort of Trafalgar Square, the Strand area, whereas I've never seen Matthew McConaughey. So I would have gone.
What,
I would have given.
You haven't seen Matthew McConaughey in London?
Anywhere.
And you're shocked by that.
Listen, Woody Harrelson comes to London all the time. He's a reg here, right? Yeah. Just saying, I would have given it to Sir Rod Stewart, but fair enough is what it is. I defer to your greater opinion, the Welsh Wayne Rooney. So is that a wrap for today's episode?
I think that's a wrap for today's episode. Congratulations to Matthew. You won it on charity. You might not have the best whiskey, but two cracking gentlemen fought out well. Round of applause for both competitors. Well done. Thank you very much. And
as always, thank you to everyone for listening to the podcast. If you like the podcast,
Tell your friends. Word of mouth.
Tell your mum.
Far better.
Tell your dad.
Tell your mum, Blatt.
Tell your
mum.
Tell your dad. Tell your gran.
Yeah, so as always, thank you for listening. Follow us on all the usual places on social media at Honest to a Malt. You can follow Duncan at Whiskey Tip, myself, Mike at Whiskey Wings, and we will catch you on the next one. Bye, bye, bye.